Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, let's stand together and sing. The words will be on the screen. Remember your tithes and offerings. So if you're watching online, you can go to fairmeadowchurch.org and click Give Today. It's a great way to give. If you're here in person, we have plates at the back where you can give before you go. Some of you have mailed it in over the summer. Whatever mode works best for you, we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. the Lord will bless you for it. Also, we want to be praying for those who are traveling. We have several who are gone this week, including Joy, who usually leads our prayer time. And I appreciate how she took over last week and did not crumble under the pressure. So we got her a gift card from that crumble cookie place to say thank you for doing a great job with the service while we were gone. It turns out there was a software outage that affected many, many churches, so they did give us a credit toward the cost of the software and apologized for the problems last week. But we also want to pray for discipleship, for our outreach opportunities. This Tuesday evening is the Night Out Against Crime at Munster Pool, and so from 5 to 8:30 p.m., we will have a booth there meeting our neighbors, saying hello, handing out some candy to kids. If you can participate, even for an hour or so, that would be great to give other folks a break. But see myself or Bob Eveland if you can join us. This will be a wonderful outreach opportunity, very low-key, just meeting friends and neighbors throughout the evening. Okay, so as we keep these things in mind, we'll also be praying for those who need the Lord's touch and praying for the situation around the world economically, the war that continues, and the issues going on in our country. One thing to note, it's time again to think about wearing these indoors. They just changed the rating for Lake County to high risk, and so according to the CDC, we should be masking up indoors. We're not going to tell you what to do, we're just making you aware of that information. Just take special care, as there seems to be a bit of a surge happening again, especially if you're especially vulnerable to the disease. So with all this in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know us so well, and you see all that we are and all that we aren't, and yet you love us, Lord. And your love reaches deep into our lives, and your love reached across eons of time. First of all, creating this incredible universe, giving us a beautiful view of your handiwork here on earth, and giving us a wonderful place to live, and yet we turned away from you. And Father, in choosing our own path, sin entered the world and entered our relationships. And so as we are broken before you this morning, we are thankful that we can also be redeemed. And many of us have been forgiven of our sins and also filled with the Holy Spirit, that we could be sanctified and the healing can go to another level in our life. But this morning, humbly, we remind ourselves, Lord, in your presence, that we are not there yet. We still have a ways to go on the journey of holiness. So help us, Lord, to be filled with more of you. Help us to reach out for all that you have for us. And we want to make the moments, the most of these moments that we share together in your presence. Father, we ask that you will touch those who need a physical touch. Continue to be with Martha and give her healing in her body, that she would be able to eat solid foods and recover from her recent struggles. We pray also for Linda Winandy's father, Dean. And Lord, he now has a renewed battle with cancer. And we ask, as the treatment plan is being put together and begins to unfold, that you'll be providing healing to his body through this process. And be with Linda as she supports him lovingly and give her strength as well for the journey. And we pray for others who may be under the weather or needing your touch today. Just heal them, Lord, and help us to look to you to be our provider and our healer. We pray also for those who are traveling today and ask that you'll bless them where they are and give them strength for the journey and bring them back to us safely. And we pray, Lord, that we will be able to reach out in love, perhaps even this week at the night out. Help us to make some new friends and just to let everybody know that we're here to love and to share the journey. Father, help us in everywhere that we go and all that we do to reflect your glory the best that we can, by the grace that you provide us. And then, Father, we pray for our world. We pray for our national leaders, that they would have wisdom in making important decisions. We pray for the inflation problem that's happening, that somehow it could come under control. We pray for those who are out of work or in need of more work or more pay, and ask that you'll provide for that. We ask, Lord, that you'll just bless in every way, that our nation would turn toward you, Lord, and follow you faithfully. And then, Lord, we ask that you will help our discipleship to reflect you. And may we make the most of the time that remains this morning to draw near to you as you have drawn near to us. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we'll turn our attention to God's word. And we will be in the Gospel of Luke once again. In Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. So please stand again in honor of God's word if you can. And open your heart to the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you're not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And this is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Well, the one word question comes to mind. Enough? He was 46 years old. He had a lot to do, but he could barely get it done because he was preoccupied. He was a man I worked for in ministry early on. I was a youth pastor, and he was the senior pastor. And almost every day when I would go into his office, he had his computer on, and his retirement plan pulled up on the screen, and he kept trying to calculate whether he was going to have enough to be able to ever retire. And he was convinced that he just wasn't going to get there. So I was in my 20s, I don't know, 22, 23 years old. I tried my best to encourage him and comfort him that God would provide. I said, hey, God's provided for you so far, right? He's like, well, yes, but this is complicated. So he just was very concerned and preoccupied about it. Well, I didn't end up staying there too long. And not too long after I left, he was actually out of ministry, and I wasn't surprised. But I hoped that he was worrying less about the future. But it is a question that comes to our mind. How much is enough, and how will we be able to have it? Well, there's something called impatience and something else called anxiety, and these can contribute to motivating our actions in ways we're not always aware. I promise this won't be a therapy session this morning because I'm not a licensed therapist. But these are factors that affect our thinking and our behavior more than we usually realize. And I think that's part of what may be going on in this story. We have a son who is wanting his inheritance now, right? And this perhaps is common. Where someone wants to branch off and do what they want to do with their life, they don't really want the family influence so much, but they want the inheritance that might come to them. And in this case, it was a little bit different. It was the case of the parent had already passed away, and then the older son probably received a greater portion of the estate in order to manage the estate and take care of things. And then perhaps there was provision that later on, other members of the estate would get part of their inheritance. It might be similar now to where if an estate goes into probate after somebody dies, and there's this waiting period, and people would like to have access to what might be theirs. And so why not just take that request directly to Jesus, right? And just say, hey, Jesus, make my brother give me my portion of the estate now. Well, it's an audacious ask, and I guess you can't blame someone for asking. And I kind of enjoy Jesus' response. He kind of chuckles, it seems, and says, hey, I'm not the judge for this one, right? You guys need to work this out. But he tells a story. And I wonder about how this strikes us today, just in terms of the question of, will I have enough? The thought that if I had just a little bit more, then I would have what I need. If I could just make one more purchase, that would help out so much. And of course, advertisers know this, and they're pretty much constantly trying to convince you that you are one purchase away from happiness, right? One vacation, one new car, new clothes, whatever it is, you're going to be happy as soon as you have this in your life. You'll have all these shiny people around you smiling, saying that you're great if you just make this one next purchase. And then they also sort of dangle in front of us this opportunity to use something called credit. Anybody ever used a credit card around here? And oh, it's just so easy to slap that thing down, right? And ding, 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 it lights up, and you can take your packages home. And you don't have to worry about it for a while, right? But there's this thing called the bill, and it eventually comes. And if you can pay it all off that month, well, great, right? That's good. No interest charges is taken care of. Maybe you had a few more days to make sure you had the funds to pay for it. It's great. But we know that that's not how most people use a credit card. Most people use it thinking, I'll get around to paying it off eventually. They have no idea about compound interest, and that impatience to make the purchase leads to a long-term relationship with a credit card company. And perhaps the folks that call you on the phone to see how you're doing and when that next payment is going to be coming in. When I was in seminary, I had a friend who had to work in one of these phone places that was a credit agency calling people to try to collect on their bills. And there was someone who hadn't paid in a very long time, and he said, I'm just about ready to be able to make that payment. And he said one time he sort of lost it and said to the guy, in this lifetime? Because he just didn't look on paper like he was ever going to get around to paying. So the impatience leads to the purchase, which leads to the anxiety, which now we feel even more that we've got to have money, etc. So again, this is not credit counseling. I'm not a licensed financial guide either, but I'm just saying we can relate to some of these situations and some of these feelings. Perhaps you've been through this in your life. Hopefully it's in the past now, and you can look back giving thanks that you learned some lessons and made it through. But then I think Jesus is really right on it when he tells this story that shows a vision for success that this man has. So he's produced greatly in his fields, and it's a time of abundance. And so it fills up all of his barns and all of his towers. He just doesn't have anywhere to go with the stuff. And so his idea of the good life is store up all you possibly can, and that'll vanquish all of your worries. And then if I'm financially provided for, I won't have any other concern. So I love how he talks to himself, right? He says to his soul, soul, relax, enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry. You've got all you need. So this morning, what is your vision of the good life? What is it that you imagine when you think about better days that lie ahead? Is it this kind of carefree independence where you have absolutely no responsibilities and unlimited resources to do what you want to do? Is it having everything you ever wanted at your fingertips? Is it life about here and now and having what you want when you want it? Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? And it sounds better than not having anything that you need. It sounds better than being desperately poor, of course. But the thing is, and we catch a bit of it in this story, no matter how much you have, you may still worry if it's enough, or you may just crave more because you think it'll give you more security. I'll tell you another more modern story. Lance Armstrong was a professional cyclist. Anybody remember that name? The Tour de France just finished up. The women's tour is finishing today. So I've been thinking back on this man's story. Now, he was a champion cyclist, and he had amassed wealth at a very young age. And he had famous art on the walls of his mansion. And he would just love to sit and look at it. I don't even know if he ever went to college or not, but he loved to sit and enjoy those valuable things that he had. And he was on top of the world until the day that he was diagnosed with cancer. And suddenly he realized this life that he enjoyed so much, it could slip right through his fingers so very quickly. It was advanced stage cancer that he had. He shared in his book that he checked all of his accounts, and he wasn't sure it could be enough to pay for all the very best and latest treatments that were available. So he took some of the art down off the walls, and he tried to figure out what he could get for it if he sold it. Would it be enough to save his life? And he had an existential crisis. He thought he had life by the tail, and all of a sudden, it seemed like it wasn't enough. Perhaps he hadn't valued life in the right ways up until now. No matter how much he would acquire, it might not be enough to redeem him. You could always want more security, but life is precious on many levels, and things cannot secure all of that for us. So that's one vision of reality, one that's very influenced by the culture around us. But maybe there's a vision of ultimate reality that could grip us this morning. Because there's always more to think about than just the money. And the condition of your soul matters so much more than your retirement plan. Luke 12:20 says the following. And let's just read this together. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Whether you're always fearing that you won't have enough to survive, or whether you're always thinking you've got to acquire more and more and more, it's a path that really won't take you home. And being rich before God is something very different." N.T. Wright said the following. I thought it was worth quoting this morning. I think it's on a slide there. Sorry, it's so small. Jesus was coming with the message that God was changing all that. He wasn't tightening up Israel's defense of the land. He was longing to shower grace and new life on people of every race and place. Israel, as far as he could see, was in danger of becoming like the man in the story who wanted the security of enough possessions to last him a long time. Societies and individuals alike can think themselves into this false position, to which the short answer is God's. You fool. Life isn't like that. The kingdom of God isn't like that. Those are harsh words. Those are strong words, right? You don't use the term like fool lightly. And if there's a guy you don't want to be, it's the fool. The one who has trusted in the wrong things. The one who has believed in the wrong story and therefore has to reap the consequences and the harvest of that other story. To this, it's a very simple response that God gives, and that is, be still and know that I am God. Let's just say that together. Be still and know that I am God. It's so powerful and it's so important. So think about it this way. Whether it's going to come through Social Security or a pension or personal savings or the kindness of strangers and friends, however we make it through life, God is the one who is holding us up. God is the one who is holding us together. He's using those means, yes. And all of these things can help. And we should be as wise and as careful as we can be. But understand, our faith must not be in these things. Because we've seen and heard of pensions that dry up, right? We've heard of savings that have been lost. But we know that the living God holds us and he is our provider. Amen? We can trust him with our lives. And so Jesus goes on with the lesson of the raven. Even just about the creepiest bird, right, can still teach us something powerful. Verses 24 through 26 of chapter 12. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you're not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Worrying won't help us thrive. Amen? Worrying won't increase our faith in God. Amen? Birds aren't stupid. They know they can only do so much, but even with all their uncertainties, we hear their songs in the morning. We see them enjoy the wind as they soar high on a breeze. Maybe they've learned a secret. Verse 29. And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. I appreciate that it says don't keep worrying, because I think it is impossible as a human being to never worry at all. These thoughts come into our minds. We wonder about the future. It's what you do with that thought at the moment that matters. If we dwell there, that's where it becomes a darkness. Being aware of things to be properly concerned about is just part of life. But let's not turn those flashes of concern into deep worry and anxiety that will steal life from us. So if you catch yourself worrying, do not keep worrying. Verse 30, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, and this is a big instead, this is a pretty big turn, right? It's an orientation away from typical anxieties toward new things. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So some things we don't strive for, and others we can. When we strive to make things the sustenance of our lives, we strive in vain. No matter how hard we try, we just won't quite get there, because it drains the humanity out of us. We see people as a means to an end. We end up destroying our relationships in the pursuit of success. There's just no end to it, and the end isn't good. Seek after or strive for the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. So what does that mean? Well, it means giving of our time and our energy to value what God values. We're going to go a little bit deeper about this in Sunday school just after this to say more about what is the kingdom. But God values people above all else. Adults, youth, children. And we find God's greatest treasure when we find people. So this morning, understand that God cares about your life. He cares enough to provide for what you need. So don't worry. Don't worry so much about having enough. And don't be greedy, for goodness sakes. Seek the kingdom. Give. Share. Be generous. Be loving. Invest in people. God is saying to us this morning, I've got your back. Please trust me. Amen. So you can get on with living and giving and loving and growing, because when you invest in people spiritually, when you give money to God off the top, when you give to those in need, when you serve the needs of others, when you teach children about the love of God, you are a blessing to others in ways that you cannot imagine. Then talk about compound interest as love and grace builds up in the life of another person. But one of the best things is what happens to you in that process. You don't become the fool. You begin to change. You become someone who's more than the sum of their accounts and their achievements. You rise above worry and strife. You learn to care and to love more. Well, God will still bless you with true abundance. But this morning, we can't control life. We can't cheat death. But living life as Jesus describes is living daily, trusting and being formed by our faith. Now, when you come to the end, as all of us will, or Jesus will come back and meet with us here, but when you come to that moment, you won't find yourself falling short. The grace of God will be holding you up. Amen? The grace of God will be holding you up. Will you just say that with me? The grace of God will be holding you up, just as it always has been. Let's read this last verse together, 12:32 again. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. It's all that we can say. And forgive us, Lord, for those chapters of our lives where we may have tried to trust in other things and thought we could be delivered by plastic or cold hard cash. Father, this morning we stand before you as your people, truly a blessed people, forgiven and loved. And Father, if anyone is watching online or here present and they're caught up heavily in these anxieties and this impatience about having it all taken care of and all the questions of the future answered now, Father, would you just move in as the God of all comfort, come next to us in this moment and deeply reassure us that you are our creator and our provider. You are the one who sustains us, and our faith can be in you, and our trust must be in you if we are to live the good life. Lord, an abundant life is ours, no matter how much money we have or don't have. It's an abundant life of trust and service and love. I thank you, Lord, that many of the people before me are living such a life right now. And Father, I thank you that that option is there for all of us. Wherever we have drifted off of that path, Lord, just invite us away from where we have gone astray. Invite us back to a life of deeply trusting you. And if anyone needs to repent, if anyone needs to bring change in the pattern of what they've been doing with money or their attitude toward wealth or just the level of anxiety that's happening in their lives, Lord, for the part that we play and contribute, we do confess at this time. But Father, where we may need help from others to deal with anxiety, perhaps even medication would help us, Lord, help us. Where we need better financial guidance and advice, may we seek that good counsel from a Christian financial advisor that could guide us toward good stewardship in our lives. But Lord, above all, again, may our trust always be in you as our healer and restorer, as the one we follow as Lord. With your eyes still closed, this morning, if you're especially encouraged and God is just reassuring you now, would you just raise your hand and let him know that you appreciate it this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you, and let your grace just pour down on these who need your reassurance right now. And for any, Lord, who really need to make a clean break and live in different ways from this moment forward, give them all the grace that they need right now and make today a day of transition, a new day for your grace in their life, we pray. And we ask all of this in Jesus' powerful name, and everyone said, amen. Well, it's been good to be together. Let's stand. Again, the conversation will continue. We'll talk a little bit more about the kingdom in Sunday school. But for now, let's declare our faith before we go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go in the grace of God. Live trusting him. In Jesus' name, amen. And hope you can join us for Sunday school.